Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
So we after 17 years and 15 years respectively.
Hello,
is this the start of the podcast?
Like to say hello to anyone?
So after 17 years
hello
of the
everybody.
So you just walked in on Hector in the middle of a story.
So after 17 years of the Tommy and Hector show and Loretta podcast, we are going to say that we're continuing for another 15 years. Loretta, introduce the show.
Well, in the middle of Hector's story there, we would like to welcome you along to the THL pod.
I have a name.
Tommy's got a
oh,
name.
Oh, no, no.
I have a name.
Go on then.
Right? It comes from...
Of course he has.
Emmett Gavin.
Well, that's a surprise, Tommy. You've got a name. Go ahead.
You ready?
Yes.
Muffledorf.
Muffledorf.
What's that one about?
Dusseldorf.
Donegal and Dusseldorf.
Muffledorf. I like that.
Muffledorf.
He sounds like a character from...
Loretta, how are you keeping?
Great, Hector.
Tommy, how are you?
Always tremendous.
So, Hector, there's a glint in your eye today.
Well, can I just say, you're looking... You're fresh, like...
Your
arms are getting toned.
They are.
Aren't they?
Look, yeah, he's pretending now he doesn't notice.
You don't have to fucking flex and show us your fucking...
Look, that's the Kyogen bicep.
That's not the first time today you've looked at that bicep now, Hector.
No, it's
first
not.
First thing I do in the morning, I get out, I roll out of bed and I fall beside a mirror and I just go...
Do you measure them?
I say, is the toilet somewhere this way?
First thing I do in the morning is get up and I weigh the wife.
Without her even knowing.
Oh, yeah. I have
one of those jokes for weighing luggage.
Oh, yeah.
And when she's asleep, I just attach it to her nipples and weigh her.
Jesus Christ, above.
She likes it.
She does. She's wondering
what you're doing. I got an awful fright there last night. Everybody's asleep and I was doing...
We have to bait the head of Jerry Flannery.
What happened, Tommy?
So Jerry Flannery sent us...
Jerry Flannery? Is that Flannery's from Kilmaine? Which Flannery? There's loads of
Jerry Flannery.
There's loads of Jerry Flannery's in the country.
The Limerick stud, the rugby player.
The rugby buck.
Yeah. Mr. Muscles.
Yeah. He was involved with Arsenal Football Club years ago and he's strength and conditioning now for a Premier
Harlequins.
League. Harlequins. A hardy buck.
His family were all in the pub business. They've opened up a bar in Limerick, but they sent us whiskey.
As a present.
They sent us like 15 small bottles. Not the stuff you get at the airport now. These are things you'd find in an old dispensary.
Oh, nice.
You know, those kind of, the type of chemist you'd have in Dublin in 1904.
Yes.
An apothecary.
Yeah, we've always...
What is it?
Strange.
An apothecary.
Well done, Loretta. Well done.
And a trad band from Ballina. So he sent us. He sent, well, I thought I'd taste them anyway.
Yeah, they're for Tom.
15 bottles.
Oh, they're only small bottles. They're not big bottles.
No, but there'd be the guts of a treble in them, I'd say.
Be the Lord.
Hand-filled. Were they?
Hand-filled. Yeah, but you pour the whiskey into your hand.
From the cups of your hand.
Like you're getting Holy Communion.
They're not mass-produced, like.
No, and so he sent us all these bottles. And it's wonderful these people are sending us this stuff. It's great. You don't have to be sending the stuff. And we kind of feel obliged if you send us stuff that we're going to fucking make like an ad or something. But anyway, thank you very much, Jerry Flannery. But we have to bait the head of you.
Why?
Because he sent us, there's a photograph of Jerry Flannery and he's fucking Mr. Muscles in the t-shirt. He's bet into a fucking pair of jeans. He's wearing a lovely pair of white runners. But The man has no socks.
Ah, for fuck's sake, no socks. Oh, good luck to him. We wouldn't touch that whiskey.
What
kind of a tool wears no... You wouldn't see that... If you saw that in Lochdurg, you'd ask questions. Never mind behind the fucking
we'll
bar.
We'll get him a pair of socks. He mightn't be able
send
to
him on
get
some
a pair.
Socks.
We'll get him a pair of socks.
Thank you very
so
much.
Bait
for
the
that.
Head of Jerry.
Have you
on,
tasted...
Jerry.
Is
Thanks.
The whiskey good quality?
I'll taste it now this afternoon.
Right.
Okay, Tommy, and you can report back, please.
We'll open the
booth. If anybody sees Jerry Flannery walking around Limerick, just give him a fuck and slap at the back of the head and tell him, cop on and put on a pair of fucking socks.
Tommy,
where does he think he is? Fucking Miami.
Spread the message.
You wouldn't get that off the fucking Cubans swimming from fucking Havana.
Tommy,
we'll have to set up a GoFundMe page for Jerry Flannery to get a pair of socks.
I have a friend who's a taxi driver in Dublin, and he's always working around the city centre, and he sent me a text on Saturday afternoon to say you were frequenting a few little quiet little back streets, and he spotted you going in to an old man's pub. Am I right? Because I got a text at about 4 o'clock when I was at a wedding in Clare. I was following your movements in Dublin.
Just, you're like some fucking...
Yes, Tommy.
He's got his glasses on, Tommy.
Yes, Tommy.
He's got
where
his glasses
you, where
today.
Were you? What little...
I feel like this call is coming in from fucking Langley, Virginia. The CIA are
where,
following me.
Tommy, where were you? You went into...
So, what I discovered is I was able to... I found a few Owl Lad bars up in Dublin that I was able to swing into and have a pint and a chaser on my... No, more than that. I wouldn't have two chasers and 2 pints or three or four or five. Just 1 pint and one chaser. And it was fucking... Owl Lad's pubs. Pubs with no televisions. Pubs where you can just fucking go in and look at your feet for an hour and a half and have a Jack Russell with you and a copy of the Racing Post, and no one would fucking bother you in the slightest. So our first port of call was Neary's Bar, Softgraff.
Love it, love it.
Oh, I went in there. Little lovely. And then that done me for the night. And then the following night I went into McDade's.
Oh.
And I met a fucking man who told me something very interesting that's going to blow your minds. Did you know that Sky Sports in Clonmel is 12 seconds behind Sky Sports in Dublin? That's a fact.
No, it's not.
He did. The way he found out was he was watching a match with his brother, and the brother sent him a text saying, I hope they score from this corner. And he replied, the half. So you know now for a fact that Clonmel is 15 seconds behind the rest of the country.
Hello, Andrew. We need to get it.
It's Ronaldo.
So we have to fucking sort that out. And the other thing he told me was that he had his prostate removed. Now, you're always encouraging me to get the finger up the bum from
the local GP.
A bit of digital exploration. And he said to me, he got his prostate taken out and there's no... He said, when fellas stick their finger up your bum... This is from a man who's been to the far side of the operation. He's had the prostate taken out.
And?
He said... When fellas stick their finger up your bum, they don't know what they're looking for.
For God's sake, Tommy.
And he says you can get it all.
Are they doctors at all?
He said you can all do it, but you can do it be bloods.
So every doctor that's been putting a finger up
they're just messing, having a laugh at you.
They've been just trying to get their finger up there for no reason.
It's a big medical sneer they're doing.
Okay, I'm the only one in this room that has had a finger up their bum, yeah?
Why
I doubt that very much. For medical reasons.
Why do you think it has to be a medical experience?
You dirty tramp.
Could it not just be like
dirty, I'm the only one here.
What is that noise?
I'm the only one here who had a medical doctor put his finger up for surgical reasons. I think I can clarify that fact.
Was he definitely a doctor, yeah? Was he wearing gloves? Was he?
Yeah, but I've had it done a few times and I know when he hits a magic
wall. In a fucking handball,
I know when he hits a magic little area there that I go, hello, hello. I know that
that's
he's
your
hit
G-spot, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Hector.
He's hit the prostrate and that's
what... You call it whatever you like. But this fella, this isn't some fool of a man who he has had...
So you're saying the doctor...
He got the news saying, the doctor said, we're going to have to take your prostate out. You know, it's riddled. And if the riddling goes beyond the prostate, you're screwed.
Yes.
So we'll have to take it out. And he said, and how did you find that out? He says, it's all through bloods.
Yeah, bloods are
good. And then he said, what about this fucking folk tale of going down to your GP and letting her slip a digit up your jacksie? And he said...
It's never been a woman with me.
Well, you just don't have a woman, dog.
I've only ever... Anyway.
That's a minor detail.
Anyway. He said that
Hector
he said that doc, this is the fucking the wherever the professor of holes is up in the matter.
Yes.
He says when we stick our finger up your bum, put this next bit in inverted commas,
We don't know what we're looking for.
Ah, for God. I've been duped.
Oh, you've been more than that's one for one for it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, Hector.
I've been duped.
That's what you think.
I've been duped.
You've been fingered.
No wonder, you have been
no
fingered.
No wonder the doctor just put his hand his mouth up to my ears and a big deep breath as he lay over me. I was at a wedding at the weekend.
Go on.
I had a magnificent weekend and I got dolled up. And
dolled up? You did?
Yes, and my wife looked absolutely amazing, wow. I must say, as we travelled to
What was she wearing?
She wore a dress. Okay. She wore a dress.
Risha, at what age do you think women would stop wearing thongs?
When they're in their 20s.
What?
Stop!
Yeah, because they just get stuck up your ass.
Ah, yeah, they you're duped again. We've been duped again.
Yeah, why? What age do you think they will? What age should they stop or what age do they stop?
No, they can not wear.
So do and should. I'm not sure.
I think you only wear thongs up until you're in your mid 20s and then you stop.
Wow.
I think that's
okay. That's a great bit of information.
Why?
Okay. Yeah. I was at a wedding.
Hard to swallow here.
Okay, we'll come back. Back to the wedding.
So sorry.
So we were so excited that we were going to.
Well, no. You got dolled up.
I got dolled up, and
go
my
on,
wife.
Take us from head to toe.
So I wore a wine pair of trousers.
Were they wide?
And they were velvety wine.
Ah, go away.
It's one of my Cheltenham outfits.
Was it a suit? A velvet suit? I wore
your Cheltenham outfit. You were the back of the horse, was it?
Was it a rug you were wearing for a horse?
I knew
you. Did Dipma have the headpiece on her?
I knew you'd sneer, but
sorry, a velvet trousers.
I wore a wine.
Was it a tuxedo?
You did the magic tricks at the party or something.
Had your big shoes on you.
Okay.
There's a poem over there. What's the title of it, Hector? Can you see?
The Clown. Wine
trousers.
Look at, I wore wine trousers. Velvet. I wore a lovely dressy shirt, flamboyant shirt, and I wore
a big collar.
Who helps you choose clothes? Like, where, what shop do you
I decided to? Not to go because it was an afternoon civil wedding. It was one of those naturalist, isn't it?
Naked, on the nip.
It was a simple ceremony, so I didn't want to go full three-piece suit or suit.
Full Monty.
So you didn't want to wear a suit?
But the big thing was that after 17 years and 15 years of my boys being on this planet, I finally gave them the full responsibility of being home alone. We left the young lads in charge of the house.
Disaster.
For the first time ever, they didn't go over to Clive's to have a sleepover. right? Because Clive has been there for 17 years.
That's inappropriate, at the very least.
No, that's what you do when you don't have aunties or uncles close. You go over for their mates' houses. That's what they do. And Clive and Jacinta have been there.
Clive's your friend.
Clive and Jacinta. So I said to the lads, there's a few ground rules here. We leave you with enough food. You have your own cards and you can order your takeaway. Keep the gates closed. You know what to do. Turn off the lights.
Why do you have to keep the gates closed?
I like the gates closed at night time because it's like 4 miles down through the avenue, out through the land to get to there. Close the fucking gates at night time, Tommy.
But during the day, why?
The gates are open during the day.
Yeah, you said keep the gates closed.
At night time when they go to bed.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Because it doesn't have lads coming in stealing your oil and your kerosene.
Go on.
So I said to them a few rules. The biggest rule I said was that you have to flush the toilets because in my house they have an awful phobia.
Sorry, you're leaving two teenage lads at home on their own and their biggest rule is to keep the toilet flushed.
Yes, because they have
What about all the parties and...
Teenage boys. So I said, if you bring people over and Rian goes, I don't think I'll have anyone over. We'll keep it nice and... quiet. So it was a rainy day. I knew they wouldn't go off on the bikes. It was that dreary hour. Sort of, they were lying on the couch. I'd left enough food for them. They had the sausages and rashers. So I got them a cooked chicken, a load of rolls, and they were going to have a takeaway that night. So they were sorted.
Jesus Christ.
They have a diet, aren't they?
They were sorted.
Who was eating the cooked chicken?
So we were leaving them, and the cool as a breeze. They needed that around 4 o'clock.
Come out to deliveries out in your country roads.
We have a thing called the kebab inn, which is only a mile over the road on the old N17.
And they have some lad drive out the road.
Your man will come round and he'll do all the deliveries. So they were cool as a breeze. We headed off.
Were they looking forward to the night of freedom?
Absolutely, I'd say they were because they get full access to FIFA.
Okay.
The Microsoft points, the FIFA points were bought. They were in charge. The Wi-Fi was in full throttle. And I said to Rian going out the door, I said, Rian, if you invite anyone over, and he goes, no, maybe just Jackie Mull and we'll keep it nice and quiet. Yeah. And then I said, okay.
Jackie Mull.
Jackie Mull's a good lad. He only lives a mile over the road.
He's 45 years of age.
Over to me.
He's the coach of the junior C's.
So off.
Hey, man! Any fucking chicken left?
Is it Home Alone? So we got to the Old Ground Hotel and it was a lovely wedding. James and Tracy, two people we knew and my Dipna's friends from a long, long time ago. She started national school on the same day with James. They both found love after having partners before. They had split up, things had happened and they had found love. And it was 60 of us in a pod in the Old Ground Hotel and it was a humanist wedding where they tied the knot of the hands. 20-minute ceremony, 60 people in a pod. Food was good. To be served food in a hotel.
What did you have?
Oh, stop. I had a crab, a West Coast crab claw starter. Then I had a lemon sorbet. And then I had a lovely bit of sea bass. Lovely side vegetables. And then we had a medley of desserts. And the speeches were great. Tracy spoke brilliant. James spoke brilliantly. They have a 20.
What were you drinking?
I had a quick couple of Swift gin and tonics.
Okay. Don't tell him if you were having pints of that other stuff, don't tell him.
And then sorry,
diet crack.
I had a couple of Swift Dynamite.
Dynamite, is that a drink?
No, but you know the make of gin I'm talking about.
Oh yeah, I do.
And then I went on.
Does gin not make you emotional?
No, only
if I have about 50 of them and it's in Cheltenham and I'm sitting on the end of the bed with a 3-piece suit on me at 5 o'clock in the morning. Did I pay the mortgage? No.
A red velvet
so,
suit.
So across the crowded floor of 60 of us, there's a lovely setting, great fun, great atmosphere. And these two people who've been living together for the last 10 years had finally decided to tie the knot. They have a 21-year-old and a 17-year-old from previous marriages. And they have a little 7-year-old boy who was hopping around the place called Liam. And it was a lovely day of happiness for these people. But I looked across and who was at the table next to me? Jamesy O'Connor.
Oh yeah, hurling legend.
One of the greatest legends. He was there with his wife Caroline. And then across at another table, one of the Bearfield legends that won an All-Ireland club title. One of the great centre-backs for Clare. One of the legends of 65s, Shawnee McMahon. An unsung hero. A legendary hurler. And he was sitting at his table and James's mother, who was getting married, is still alive, 92 years of age. Yeah. And I went over to her and I had a great chat with her. And
she's a Clare woman.
She's a mighty Bearfield woman and the crack out of her. When are you next on television? Unbelievable to be talking to a woman like
well
this.
Well done, you managed to crowbar that
yeah,
in.
Well
Hector, when are you next on television?
It's coming up soon.
The subject. Thursday.
I didn't see that coming.
Thursday.
Very smooth. He's
Thursday
smooth.
The 30th. It's in time to embrace the New Ireland on Hector Erenua. Doodly-doo.
Well done. That was perfectly crowbarred in. Yeah.
I sat in with you.
And next thing you got a taxi and the taxi driver said, remind me again when you're getting on the new television. When you're
so I sat in with Shawnee McMahon then after all the food and drink was done and I put the hand on the knee and we started talking. He was training the intermediates. He's retired a good few years, but he said it was too hard. He found senior training and management too stressful. He's back with the 17As. And an amazing chat with an amazing. I said, what was the best point you've ever scored? He said there was a couple of good ones from 65s. Imagine standing over a 65 in a Munster final, Clare versus Tipperary, 70,000 people, and it fires over the bar. He said, I scored a good couple in All-Irelands in Croke Park, but he said there was a few in Munster finals over the years. I said, how do you feel? Do you know the way they just arc over that 65? And I can remember Shawnee McMahon. He was like a laser. A laser. He was a phenomenal player. And we had a great wedding. Load of dancing. Anyway, wedding happened. Stayed in the Old Ground. Fantastic hotel, Nestle Heart in Ennis. I texted the boys at about 8 o'clock. How are things going? And then Shane texted back with a picture of the fire on. Now, that's a good
one. That's very mature.
That's very good. The blocks were on. And he said, we've just ordered the kebab in. And I said, is there many there? I went, an open question.
Yeah.
And he said, a few.
Uh-oh.
Well, below, I said, Home Alone, my ass.
Is a shifting going on, probably?
No. They were very good. They only invited four lads over. Four. The four of them were in. And I got
That's six young fellas in the house.
And four of them come over, so there was no Home Alone. But I got back the next day and they're all lying in watching Man United. And I said, lads, said you good evening. So there was four of them on the couch.
There cans all over the place.
There was young Ty Joyce.
A tongue behind the couch.
Owen Morgan, Jack Ramsey, Jack Mullen, and they all lying in. And the place was spotless.
Oh, wow.
The toilets were flushed. And
was it too spotless? Like,
no,
had somebody been murdered?
No, they were very, very good. And they had the fire on the night before. I said to Shane, the younger lad, I'll extract more information out of him. I said, how did you get on last night? Was there any gallivanting or anything? He said, no. We were playing a lot of FIFA. We ordered in the food. We put on the fire. And then we put on a couple of horror movies. Horror movies.
Wow.
Isn't that great? But we left them in charge of the house. And fair play. For the first time ever, as parents, we said, it's time. It is time for them to take full responsibility. And they flushed the toilets.
And did you get jarred at the wedding?
I had a couple of gin and tonics, and then do you know what I want? There was a senior manager from Ballyea, Hogsy. They brought Ballyea to an All-Ireland club hurling final a couple of years ago. They lost against Coola.
He's such a wide range of interest sector. It's great. Like,
yeah. So I went in and I bent the ear off him for another.
Getting some advice?
Was on pint bottles of cider as well. And then next minute, for some reason.
What kind of advice? Now, you're just trying to gleam some coaching advice.
Yes, I am. I'm trying to extract stuff off them.
And what are they?
Because I knew that he brought Ballyea, which is just outside Ennis, Tony Kelly is the main hurler there, and they've got some amazing county hurlers as well. But Tony Kelly, to me, is probably the unsung hero of Irish hurling, probably the best hurler at the moment in the country, hands down. A man that scored 17 points in a game last year for Clare in the league, like, for Christ's sake, from midfield. So I said, what's Tony Kelly like? He said, he's an absolute dream. He's a dream to train. And I'm trying to get information out. How do you keep them buzzing? How do you keep the group bonding? I said, I'm coaching a good couple of young lads in a team. What can I do to keep them, to get that buzz going? And he told me something really, really brilliant. I told him that I'm happiest when they say thanks after a training session. And he said, Hector, I fucking love it. He says, that's what it's all about, manners and etiquette and respect and these young lads of the parish and these young men of the parish, whether it's senior, junior. He says, try this. And this is what I do once or twice a season. The session is over and they're all sweating and the steam is rising off them. Pull them in tight together.
You wash them.
No. And then he goes, lads, I'm going to say thank you from us, from me as the coach and the manager and the other boys here. Thank you for doing what you're doing for us. And thank you for letting us be a part of your journey. Good session. Away you go. Oh, man. Giving thanks back to them.
Yes.
And then take ownership. I fucking love it. And then the second thing he said to me, which is fucking beautiful, and I'm going to do it. He said, if you have a big game coming up, something, you know,
do you have a big game coming up?
Yes, we have.
We have
a county semi-final in a couple of weeks' time.
Who are you again?
We could be again the winners of St. James's and Corrifin.
Now Corrifin would be your neighbours.
Corrifin would be the neighbours.
Where's St. James's from?
St. James's Merview.
Oh, the city boys against the country lads.
The city boys, the country, but they've got to get over each other first, and the winner plays us. But he said to me, and I said, what about the jersey, the symbolisation of that parish? And he goes, Hector, or something.
Who sponsors your team?
Roots Cafe in Claregall.
Roots! Is that all?
Roots, like the TV show Roots. Roots.
Oh, Kunta Kinte.
Roots.
Do you remember
Kunta
him?
Kinte.
Not Route 66 Roots.
No, Roots. The great TV show of Ireland. The Dallas and Roots.
Yeah.
And the Thornbirds dynasty. All them.
And
great.
What was the one about the family living in the attic? The murdered family were in the attic. Children in the attic.
Yes.
Anyway,
Roots sponsor us. But anyway, he said another great.
But there are no kids in the attic in the Thornbirds. Have you read it, Rita?
No.
Okay.
I don't know if there is.
So this fella is saying to the kids to read the Thornbirds.
No, Tommy. He's on about the
They're
jersey.
Do
Look,
mass.
Tommy, I know you're not involved in any team at the moment, but just when you get back into the training.
Write this
Larita,
down, Tommy.
This is for you as well.
Write this down, Tommy.
Just with the jersey, hold up that jersey and just go, boys, we have a big day tomorrow. And you know we all have a job to do.
So hang on, you're training the night before?
No, we're just having a light session.
A light session.
It could be in the dressing room. It could be
crackers and cheese.
It could be the morning of it. It could be before the match.
Okay.
Pick up the jersey and go, lads, you know, you all know what your job to do. We've spoken about what we have to do. But I'm just going to talk to you about this jersey and look at it in my hand and hold it up, he said, and then drop it onto the grass. He says, lads, there's nothing there. Pick it up again. He says, this jersey is nothing. It is everything to the man and the body that fills it. When you put on this jersey and you fill this jersey, then you become something. Because without you, this jersey means nothing. Oh my God. Well, the hair was standing at the back of my head and David Bowie was playing Ashes to Ashes on the dance floor and we were all out dancing. I was on the pint bottles of Bulmers. I was about 1:45 in the evening in the old ground and I said, magnificent, magnificent. It takes a man to fill the jersey.
And it's pride of parish.
Oh,
it's,
Jesus it's, Christ. Do you get that?
It's for fellas in Clare Galway to be proud of Centra.
And Roots.
And Roots.
And Roots Cafe. Yeah. And to be proud of the traffic lights. And to be proud of the church. And
it takes a man to fill.
But it's pride of parish, Hector.
Yes, it is, Tommy.
Is there
it's pride
and the kebab inn.
What other shops are in that shop we've in Centra Clare Galway?
We've got Kazana Indian.
Kazana. You're proud of it.
Yeah.
And
you've got Supervine Hughes's.
Is there a Centra as well?
You've got Ezio's the Chipper.
Is there a centre?
You've got Keady's the Laundrette.
See,
there's no. There's a Sentra and a Super Value.
Fuck me, that's not Kevin.
But I'm not going to give them any. It's Roots all the way here. They're our proud sponsors.
Wow.
Roots all the way. But as he said, Hector, it takes a man to fill the jersey.
Yeah.
And that was from Hogsy, from Ballyhea, the senior manager.
Yeah.
They were going down to play the Tipperary Champions the next morning at 11 o'clock in a challenge. Hurling. Oh, Lord.
How are you fixed for this big match coming up?
We're all right. We're in a good position. We're just niggles. A lot of lads with niggles, Tommy. A lot of niggles.
Yes.
A lot of glutes, ankles, all that. But anyway, we were so happy to be at a wedding, to be out. We went out at the weekend.
Could you bet on that match?
No, you can't bet on underage stuff.
Can you not?
No.
Jeez, I was watching a programme last night about the start of the Premier League. Did you watch it? It was on BBC and they were talking about Manchester United. They were interviewing Gary Neville, but also Keith Gillespie.
Oh, Keith, yeah.
So it's
Lefty.
So there's a few episodes of it and it was talking about their great team of 92 and how they came into the, and Alan Hansen said, you know, you can't win a match
with kids,
and you know, obviously they won that year, but it was really sad to listen to Keith Gillespie because he obviously turned to gambling.
Yes.
And he talked about how much money, how he was betting on the matches that they were playing in, and he was betting, he moved to Newcastle, and he said it was a big change for him. Obviously he was leaving all his friends behind from Manchester.
He was a gifted young fella as well.
So obviously he went to Newcastle and Andy Cole came to Man United, and he went over and he didn't really know anyone, and he was interviewed, they're showing the interviews when he was a kid, you know, and they were going back to, he always seemed really kind of
on
shy,
his own,
and
yeah.
You know, kind of, I suppose they were all were kind
he's
of
Nordy,
like that.
Isn't he?
Yeah, he was from Bangor, I think.
Super player, winger.
And he was just talking about Beardsley was the captain of Newcastle at the time. And
Beardsley?
Yeah, Pia. And Pia.
Beardsley.
Pia hadn't scored for ages. And
hello.
Are you even practicing that accent?
No, Mac, because it's not from Newcastle, man. I've got a perfect Newcastle accent.
Where did that come out of, Loretta?
Yeah.
You kept that from us for 14 months on this podcast.
Fucking
speak to us in pure.
I can talk in Newcastle, no problem, like. Tabs the outcourt cigarettes, Tabs over there. What are you talking about, man? I go to Newcastle and I talk in a Newcastle accent by the time I leave. Go down to Black Rose, man, we got a gas pints. Yeah, what's what like that, like?
It's like discovering
Loretta. I feel as
you
if
have
I'm
a superpower.
I've got a superpower. It's from Newcastle.
Do you go to match at the weekend?
I go to Newcastle all the time, man. And they see a man all the time over there, Newcastle. So he went to Newcastle. And
you have a superpower now.
Pia. They say Pia. I've got cousins
go on,
called
go back.
Pia.
You're veering into special needs now.
No, I've got cousins called Pia over there. So anyway, he was talking about, he was the captain, and he said, you know, I just decided, he said, I'd put a bet on him. You know, he said...
To do what?
To score. He said he hadn't scored for ages. So I put a big bet on him, he said, to score first. And he did. And then he said, I also...
Was he playing in the game?
Yeah, he was playing. And he said he put a bet on for them to win the match 3-0. And he said, after a half an hour, they had scored 3 goals. And he said...
And Beardsley first scorer. What were the odds?
He said... He was up due to make 47 grand, right, with that score and Peter Beardsley score.
And he's on the pitch while this is
disaster,
happening.
Disaster, he says. For second half, he said, I kept playing the match, he said, in a position where I was passing the ball backwards. I didn't want us to drive forward. He said, if it had been half time, I would have said to the players, listen, just don't try and score another goal. My advice at halftime would have been to hold off. He said, just, you know, play it back. Just keep it calm. Don't look for more goals. He said, I continued to play the match, trying to pass the ball backwards, he said. But he said, we were too strong. We were driving forward. And he said, we scored another goal.
No.
After something like in the 50th minute or something. And he said, you'll see footage of me, and they showed it, of him being disgusted when they scored the fourth goal. They all went over celebrating, and Beardsley had scored again, the fourth goal, and he just said, oh, fuck it, he said.
That's
mad. After losing me 47,000. And it just went out of control after that. Like I said, it was
yeah,
it was
I've
a
seen
disaster.
Bits and pieces on that.
It was all exposed then in the paper. The bookie then sold the story to the News of the World or the Sun or something. And
was this documentary about the explosion of money in the Premier League?
It was the first episode.
How they became super rich really quickly.
It started there, and it was just. But like, imagine the affliction of that. He said he had to ring his mother and tell her it was going to be in the newspapers and. Like, imagine playing a match.
Was he barred from the team for a while?
They didn't know.
No,
did
they didn't know at the time. They didn't know. They didn't know until after that. And he was still playing then because.
Wow.
But it was just telling the story in hindsight.
I was talking to a fella who had a few very, very long chats with Roy Keane.
Oh, interesting.
And I was asking him, says, the one thing that seemed to set Keane apart was application. Just phenomenal application. And he said, it's more than that, he said. Now, he wasn't necessarily saying that Roy had this, but he was saying that what separates top athletes from the rest of us is their willingness to endure pain. And he said, there comes a moment, though, where not only do they welcome pain, they go looking for it. Now, he wasn't saying that of Keane necessarily, but he said that was his experience. He said the sense he got from Roy was that Roy was bring it on. If it fucking happens, bring it on. I'm not afraid of it. But then he said, but there are others then who not only welcome it, they go looking for it. And that's a fucking dangerous place to be when you're looking for pain.
Wow.
Yeah, but that's what separates the boys at the top.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, you see those Premier footballers, the likes of
them. They've way too much time on their hands.
they were lying on couches in the afternoon with nothing to do. Will I buy a new watch? Yeah. Will I buy a car?
Yeah, no, David James then was talking about, you know, he said, like, I turned into not a nice person when I started, you know, winning matches, he said, you know, for Liverpool. And he said, every time we lost, he said, I bought like a more expensive watch. And he said, I was just going out, like, it was just pure. Because he said, we were coming at that stage, coming from very little money to having like maybe, you know, 5,000 a week or whatever it was. It was big money at the time. And he said, it was just crazy. And then Keith Gillespie was on about, you know, finishing training at 12:30 in the day.
Yeah.
You start
what do
quarter
you do?
Past 10, you're finished at 12:30.
But also, you're finishing training, but you're fit.
You're fit.
Your body is, you've a lively machine underneath
and
you.
And full of adrenaline, looking for excitement and a buzz and like, yeah, it was an interesting call. It's on now every Monday night for a while.
I was only ever in Keno's, I met Keno on an Air Ireland flight. He was getting on. I didn't go up to him. He was on the same Air Ireland flight. I think it was some fundraiser in Galway. This is a long time ago. But it was in Air Ireland, out in Galway airport. He was sitting only a couple of yards away. I just left him on his own because I was in awe of that man.
It's really weird you say that. He tells the same story.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say I was on the same flight.
What did he tell you when he...
He said, I was on a flight one time with Hector and I just didn't want to go up to him.
That's
said,
fair enough. We left each other alone, Tommy.
He said, I was in awe of him. I just couldn't go.
And you know...
What that man had done for travel shows and the Irish language blew my mind. As a proud Cork man who couldn't even... wouldn't have the beautiful Irish that Hector has. Anybody. But the two of you...
Well, like in years, it's only come out recently with his interview with Gary Neville. He said if he saw somebody who was in the public, he wouldn't fucking go over to him. He said, why would I go over to him? Why did he interview him?
When he said about the jersey.
Why would I go over and I'll talk to somebody? Leave them fucking alone.
He was disgusted. He went up to swap a jersey. He was playing for Ireland, was it? With one of the Portuguese players or some good player. I can't remember who he said it was. And he went over and he asked your man to swap the jersey. And your man says, no. And he said, I was so fucking pissed off. He said, I never asked anyone for a jersey ever again. And I turned around to your man and says, oh, fuck off. I didn't want your jersey anyway. He said, I couldn't let it go.
Do you have GAA coming up now?
We've championship this weekend, senior championship. It's back in Mayo.
First round.
We can relax.
So you can wash your hands of the blood of Croke Park and begin again.
Yes, we can concentrate on our saffron and blue. And I'm organising a coffee morning for anyone that's coming
from
Aramore as well.
What's happening?
Saffron is our colour.
Saffron and blue.
It's a herb, yeah.
What colour is it?
It's something that is not grown in Knockmore, I can assure you.
What colour is saffron?
Saffron, it's like orange.
Your jerseys are orange and blue?
Yeah. No, yeah, they're lovely.
They're blue and yellowy, aren't they?
Yeah, saffron and blue. They're blue.
Yeah, it's like Tipperary.
Blue and yellow. Are you colourblind?
No, that's what we're called. The song, I sang it for you before.
What is it?
The Knockmore song.
On the eve of the championship.
When we were the saffron, when we were the blue. I told you that song.
Give us the song.
The men who conquered Connacht, we knew what to do. The last leg of our journey was the final in Croke Park and we brought all Ireland glory to Knockmore's football heart. But we lost the final, so...
So who are you playing the first round?
We're playing Aughamore. We were on tenterhooks at the weekend because we were being almost relegated from the league.
Remember, I think you've done this before, but could you just fucking go through that word with me again?
Tenter. It's tenterhooks.
Tenter.
It's not tenderhooks as commonly used in the English language.
We've had this before.
Tenterhooks.
Yes. Tent. So like tent or hooks.
That's how you spell it. T-E-N-T-E-R.
You were on
tenterhooks.
Tenterhooks.
Google it.
Okay.
And... we were about to be relegated from senior league. And thanks be to God, we were beaten by Charlestown by 3 points.
Balahi.
Balahi. But thankfully, Clare Morris were beaten more by Aughamore. But your county champions, so went
have you diminished over the
league?
Year?
No, just a bad league, but a bad league.
Had you full team out?
They split the league into two halves this year. So it was 5 and 5 teams or 6 and 6 teams. So anyway, we're back. Championship, Aughamore this weekend. Bring
home
it
or away.
On.
Home or
home,
away.
Home, home, home.
So what time is the throw-in?
It's coffee morning in all over Ireland for hospice this week. And we decided in our good club.
How do hospices earn money from the coffee mornings?
People host coffee mornings in their home or outside or in their club or their community or their whatever.
And other people give money, is it?
Yeah, they come around. It's basically like the stations where years ago you used to bring people around to your house. We just don't have mass. And okay. You can have tea and buns and cake and give donations.
And give donations. Okay.
Yeah, so we're having an
event. And would you raise much money doing that?
Yeah, we'd raise a lot, yeah.
Really?
We could, yeah, raise a lot. Depends. Now, this year, last year we didn't have it at all because COVID. This year it'll be dodgy enough. Okay. But it's a great way, it's a lovely way of people connecting with each other in the community again. So we decided in Knockmore, myself, Frank, Jonathan, a couple of us got together and we're having a coffee morning at the match. But it's like not a morning.
Nice idea, Loretta.
We're going to have a little stand. We're going to sell teas and coffees at the match and get donations for the hospice. We're going to do it before, after and during the match. And we're going to sell. I was thinking of making sandwiches and selling them. If I made sandwiches, Tommy Hedge, or scones maybe.
I wouldn't. I'd go back to the sandwiches. They're always very popular. It's a very...
Sell sandwiches.
What type of sandwiches would you make?
I'd make egg ones. Oh my God, egg sandwiches in the Knockmore Club. The best thing ever. If you haven't had egg sandwiches in the Knockmore Club. And then ham and cheese. Probably.
White and brown. We'll have a little salad.
Maybe chicken and salad.
Tell me, the ham and cheese sandwich, mayonnaise or butter?
Both.
Yes. Lovely bit of butter and lovely bit of mayo.
Yeah. What would you have on it?
Tommy doesn't like butter.
I don't like butter on sandwiches. Oh, unless I'm having toast and jam.
Oh, weird.
So talking about sport, that's it.
This weekend, I cannot wait for it. We were in a round-robin situation. We can obviously afford to lose, but we can't. We have a lot of injuries and we're hoping to regain our spot.
Well done.
So it's exciting in Knockmore. Fever pitch.
Well done.
Come on, Knockmore.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
So, you know, I've cut myself off from the Premiership because it was colonising too much of my imagination.
Yes.
I just want to tell you how difficult it is to fucking stay away from it.
Oh, really? You're finding it hard now?
Not in terms of my own activity, but in just how much it saturates the fucking culture.
Yeah. Everywhere.
Just
newspapers.
The newspapers is one thing, but so for those of you who don't know, so I would have been a passionate soccer supporter for years and years and years, but recently discovered that I was spending too much time thinking about it and I was getting too affected by results, put me in a bad mood, put me in a fucking good mood. I said, I'm fucking 52, I have to cop on to myself. So this year I just went, what? I guillotined it, fucking, whew, gone. No more watching matches. No more going to the sports sections of newspapers. No more fucking Googling this, Googling that. No more fucking nothing. Just, and it was fantastic.
Mm.
But the stuff fucking comes after you.
Yeah. Seeking you out.
It's just fucking hard to, it's hard.
You'll go back.
I don't mind if I go back, but in a bit more kind of a
balanced
way.
So what about the Liverpool result at the weekend?
Yeah, you just find this shit out. You, like so what's happening to, one thing's happened to me now is the young fellas are into it.
Yeah, so they're watching.
So my, the boys up in Dublin at the weekend and they said, can we go to the Liverpool shop? And I says, okay. So
where's the Liverpool shop in Dublin?
It's on Henry
Is there
Street.
A Liverpool shop in Dublin?
Yeah.
So full blown.
Yeah. So I said,
we wouldn't know. So we're Man United.
So I said, what am I supposed to do? Say to the young fellas, no, you can't go because daddy doesn't watch soccer anymore.
Yeah.
Thrice
can't
dad.
Deprive them, yeah.
She said, of course you can. Went into the Liverpool shop. It's all fine. It's all, you know, it's all merchandise and stuff like that. The young fella wanted a fucking, he's nine. Nine.
Yes.
He wanted a 2005 Steven Gerrard jersey.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I said, I thought, you poor fucker, you have it bad. You have it bad. When you're celebrating victories that happened before you were even conceived, you have it bad. The next older fella wanted a Thiago jersey, Champions League, with the patch on the fucking side.
Yeah.
I said, fine, okay, dude, let's do this. Let's do this. Went in, got it. Then the young fella wants to talk to me about the soccer.
Yeah.
He said, oh, did you see this? Oh, did you see that? Oh, dad. And I'm just finding it's hard to get away from it.
That's a tricky one, isn't it?
Because the young fella wants to talk about it.
What do you do? Do you deflect the conversation?
No, I just go, all right, yeah. I said, well, I'm not watching it too much now these days, but tell me what happened. And so he gets to explain it without me going looking for it.
But he enjoys that, yeah.
He enjoys that. But I remember with my older boys, when they were younger, the soccer being a great point of contact.
Yes.
You probably have that with your
great
boys.
Great conversation.
So when sometimes dads and sons have nothing
common
to talk
interest,
about.
Yes.
You could talk, oh, do you remember this and do you remember that? Or if there's a match you want to watch together. But I'm just saying,
Tommy,
me,
that's going to be difficult now. It's going to get more difficult, I think.
It'll be like the jeans. He's going to embrace it again. Because he cut the jeans out last year, gone.
Gone.
Back. They're back.
Yeah, they're only back as an experiment.
Yes.
Yeah, experiment, whatever. You got a pair
of
jeans.
I don't
know
if you could cut yourself off from Liverpool like that.
You
I
got
don't know.
The jeans
I have,
back.
I know, done. Yeah, you'll be back.
He said I'd be back to the phone, and am I back to the phone?
No, which is a pain in the arse, but anyway.
How is it a pain in the arse?
Because he can't contact you.
I sent you a text
and I said, okay.
And you never replied to me.
What?
I texted you and you never replied to me.
When?
So what's that about? I texted you on Saturday.
What did you say?
I said, good luck with your TV show on at the whatever it was, Peter and the Wolf,
Peter
or the
and
Rabbit.
The, Peter and the Rabbit. What were you doing?
It was Peter and
Peter,
the Wolf.
Peter and the Rabbit. The rabbit hole. Down the rabbit hole.
It's not Beatrix Potter, it's fucking Prokofiev.
He was.
Prokofiev, hey, Serge
Larita,
Prokofiev.
Larita, he was above in the National Concert Hall with the Symphonic Orchestra.
What?
The
Symphonics. And he wouldn't even send us a text or show us a
no,
phone.
No, no.
How mad is that?
You know,
to say,
so
here I am, Hector.
Here's
Larita.
Our, yeah, look at me. I'm just here doing this and missing ye.
Peter and the Magic Badger.
And here I am doing this. I'm missing ye. Yeah. Are we not 12-year-old girls, are we?
Yeah, and then went down and bought jeans and they wouldn't even fit him. And he's trying to go back into his old days going,
sneaking
oh, yeah,
into
no,
pubs in Dublin, wouldn't even send us a
he
photo.
Of what? Of you in a pub
or
saying, I'm here,
or
how
you
are
didn't
you
text
doing?
And say,
well,
oh,
what purpose? What is the purpose?
Might,
it's
you
called
could
communication,
you could have
Tommy.
Are we communicating now?
Yes, yeah. Tommy.
You could have said,
if I had sent you a photograph of me in a pub on fucking Saturday in Dublin, we'd have nothing to talk about now because you'd already have the information.
No, we'd be able to say,
photographs are not communication.
Boring.
Texts are not communication. Talking.
How did you know we weren't in Dublin? We could have had a pint with you.
I wanted to have a drink of beer.
See, it's pure fucking antisocial.
Sitting in a pub on his own.
All I would needed was a Jack Russell and I would have been fucking happy out.
No.
Well, anyway, we don't know when we contact you, if you get it or not, because you're to get back into the real world. He sends emails then. And every email.
Did you notice on Sunday, I'm lying in the hotel in the old ground, a slight hangover, reaching for salt potato, and next, bing, bing, bing.
That's not for me.
It's Tommy email because he's on a bit of a, oh, what about this about the show? What about that?
Do you know
what
what's
about
really
this?
Funny?
I was going, he can't send a text.
What the fuck am I Gary Neville on? So.
He can fire off four emails on a Sunday morning, but he can't send a text.
No.
Because, okay, now that's your fault for getting your emails on your phone. Emails are on my computer.
Only.
So I had work to do on my computer.
So you went, but what kills me is then he does, so he sends an email.
He lights up early.
He's here, by the way. He's in the room, is she?
He sends an email with the subject.
Yes.
And then you.
Hello there is the best one ever.
Yeah. And then it's
hello there.
Yeah, as opposed to what? Well, is it?
And then he goes, then someone replies to the email, and then he writes a whole new email with a different subject.
Exactly.
For the next reply.
Because I think it's more considered rather than just go fucking reply.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
I'll come up with a new title for the email.
Every time,
Jesus.
And it might be
three emails within 11 minutes
with
on a
three
Sunday
different
morning.
Subject matters.
Hello there. Hello there.
Typey.
All the best, Thomas.
Yeah.
All the best.
Much
Tommy.
Love and warmth.
Yeah. You know? Kind personal regards.
Stop. I was there going on a Sunday morning. He's sitting there now in a hotel in Dublin and he's.
Because we had work to do on a Sunday. We had podcast work to do on the Sunday.
We never get a day off.
We had to listen to the podcast and come up with a name for it.
Yeah, never, ever.
Oh, come up with a name for it, all right.
Yeah, we did,
And so did you listen to the podcast?
Did you listen
to the podcast that was released on Monday?
Yes. And
no, you fucking did.
I said it sounded good to me.
Bullshit, yeah.
Did you listen to the one on the Thursday? No, because you were unavailable.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And did you have anything to do with the name of the podcast for the bonus episode?
Yes, no.
No.
What do you think?
You were excluded again.
Yes.
I sent in an option.
I am a woman, so I take that
personally.
Fine.
And I feel for you. I feel for
you. I don't
care.
I don't get caught up in the names.
What was the name of the episode?
Eintracht fucking
Burtonport.
Burtonport.
Was it that name?
So I sent in, which I thought of myself. You didn't think of that name yourself.
It's a fucking great name.
Oh, he stole it from someone else.
Burtonport.
He stole it from someone else.
I spent 25 minutes.
In the beginning of the series.
I spent 25 minutes going through Wikipedia list of Irish towns, Wikipedia list of German
folk. I do that every week. And nobody ever fucking picks my every week. I actually have them printed out.
Sunday morning is not a time for fucking emails. It's a time for rejoicing on the Sabbath and relaxing.
I came up with a great name.
With your wife in a hotel room and the both of you hung over.
Yes.
And the salty breakfast arriving up.
Yes, poached eggs and wheat.
So, Tommy, what did you come up with?
So, I came up with Middlesbrough.
Yeah, Middlesbrough.
Middlesbrough.
Yes, I get it. B-I-R-R.
So, I sent that to our techno dude and he said, Hector has already sent in Eintracht.
Because on the Saturday,
Let me finish my fucking sentence.
Here we go.
Hector had already sent in
Eintracht Burtonport.
And I says, choose whichever one you want, techno guy, because the one that we don't use we'll end up using again down the road. And he said, fine. And he
Except if it's Larissa's, he
used his own taste, his own judgment, and said, I actually prefer Tommy's one. That's how it fucking happened.
Now, see.
Jesus
Christ, Tom. So I've now taken to emailing myself the names of the shows that I come up with.
Can you give me an example of one
of
the names?
I came up with a really good one now, and I can't remember it now. I can't remember it because it's so long ago. Forget about it.
Larita,
I love these little chats.
No, but it was Sunday morning. Ping, ping,
no,
ping,
what kills
ping.
Me is the new...
That's because you're... Why do you have ping on your phone for emails on Sundays?
Because I use my phone for everything, Tommy. And I don't want four emails on a Sunday morning. And I was going, Christ, he's busy.
Full of life.
Full of life. Six double espressos, sitting up with four pillows, in a bed, in a hotel.
In his jeans.
And looking at
his new jeans.
In his new jeans, going... Email.
You know another thing.
It felt like I had work to do, Hector.
Can I tell you something about your jeans? Tommy got a pair of jeans that didn't fit him.
That's not true. Tell the truth.
They fitted him when he was standing up, but when he sat down, they
were too...
They
cut the stomach off me.
Tell us about your jeans.
You know the denim stretches, so I think you need to wear them a few more times.
I think he's been influenced by the people wearing jeans that he sees around him all the time.
He's a genealogist now.
Okay, what I'm going to do is I didn't bring them back to the shop. What I'm going to do is I'm going to wear them for the next episode.
Take my advice.
I'm going to wear them for the next episode.
Okay.
I'm going to see how
we'll be sitting down for a long
today,
time now.
You're going to put on a pair of jeans on the show or later on today.
At some stage, the
brand new jeans.
Yes, I bought three pairs.
And do the three pairs all have the same problem?
They all don't fit me when I'm sitting down.
Oh dear God, this is brilliant.
And Tommy, are they
the
same?
That's my fault.
I hope they're not skinny.
Are they
Tommy.
The same make?
No, they're not. They're all different.
You went three different.
I don't know what I just said to the young lad. I said, get me jeans. And he said, oh, they look good on you. Oh, they look fucking cool on you.
And then I said okay. I'll have three pairs.
When you try on jeans, Lucia, in a shop.
Yeah, they don't fit me either.
But have you had the experience of them fitting you standing up and then not fitting you when
you're
sitting
there? Yeah, that happens to women all the time. A lot of the time. Some women.
So when you're trying on jeans in a shop, do you also sit down in them?
No.
So how do you know if they're going to fit you?
You just
when you
have
sit down?
To bear it. If they fit you, great. It's a success if they close on you. So by all means.
Were you wrong? Is that why you're lying flat in your back?
You know, the key is to get ones that are a little bit stretchy. So then
stretchy,
like with elastic in the in the waist.
No, not like not a big elastic section in it, but just like elasticated jeans.
Yes, Tommy,
you need to get them. But like they're skinny ones. It's just a huge. If you like the jeans and they close on you on the shop,
standing up.
Yeah, and it's even if you have to jump into them from the top shelf, and they fit you.
So what do you do? How do you deal with the discomfort of
sitting down? Just get on with it. You just get on with it. It's just a small little bit of discomfort. It's fine. It'll pass.
You can open the top button.
You can do that sometimes if you.
You can release the pressure.
Tell me about women and clothes and discomfort.
Yeah, we have to. Well, generally, a lot of women. If you're a little bit over your normal jean size, then you're still wearing clothes that fitted you before you were fat.
That's a very judgmental term.
I'm talking about myself.
Even I would object to more.
Well, anyway, my point is, like, you can't just keep buying jeans every time you put on weight. So you just kind of, as long as they fit you.
When you're standing up, but they don't fit you when you're sitting
but
down.
But it's fine. You get them off then when you get home and you've got loads of marks all over your waist. But it's fine. It's fine if you get them and they fit you.
Your BCG marks on your stomach.
Yeah, just
where
get them,
do you sit down in when you try them on
bolted
the shop?
In
you
there.
Never do that in a shop. You never go, oh, they look good in you. Yeah, hang on a second. I'm just going to sit down and see what they
and
feel.
And generally,
like.
you sit down more than you stand up when
do
you're
do the three
them.
Jeans fit you at all?
No, they don't. It's not important. Let's talk about Larita's body.
That's what we do. And sometimes, you know, you're like fucking the man in the corner smoking 20 cigarettes.
I took an antigen test today because I was in a pod of 60 people and I'm fine, thanks to Covisal.
Yeah, but what? You sound like you're after
no,
puffing
a little bit
up your lungs
chesty there.
Women and discomfort. So women often wear uncomfortable
shoes. So, you know,
shoes.
Like this is a problem now. I haven't worn high heels for like 18 months, 19 months, and now I'm going to have to be going to different events and I'm going to have to wear high shoes.
Why do you have to wear high shoes?
Because I can't wear like a formal dress and then a pair of runners with it.
Why, have your weddings coming up and stuff?
Hector has a few pairs of nurse's shoes here. Could lend you.
Maybe I could wear his Australian ones.
What's coming up?
The opening of the Roscommon Hospice. I'm emceeing the event, so I'm going to have to look presentable.
What? Uh-huh.
And then
you
could
wear a pair of blades like they do in the Paralympics.
Make me taller.
Yeah.
That would be good, actually. If
are
I was
you
a
doing
bit,
a big speech?
Ah, just a bit of casual chatting. Wow. And then just different things, and you have to wear high heels. It's awful. I can't wear them. They're uncomfortable, and maybe I should just take your approach to life, Tommy, and just wear what I'm comfortable in.
Yeah, wear runners, like.
Yeah, wear runner, like, yeah.
Fancy runners.
So then you have to be careful with the dress, because you don't want to be wearing a dress that you're eating then, and the next thing, you're a bit of a pot belly.
In the dress, yeah.
So
yeah.
Kind of comfort is the great thing.
Okay,
to
okay.
Dresses that expand with you as you grow.
Oh, just sheets.
Sheets, yeah, that'd be interesting.
Just draped.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know how they'd look, but yeah, sheets. So basically, like a lot of the time, women would wear clothes that are slightly uncomfortable, them, but if they fit them, they'll bear it.
So it's a great relief to get the clothes off you of an evening.
Oh, brilliant. And the brand, the whole lot. Pajamas into the soft clothes.
Comfort.
Soft cotton clothes.
Yeah, wow.
See, you don't ever have that issue, men. Is there ever anything that you're wearing that's uncomfortable? Like, you're on about thongs as well. Like, they can be fierce uncomfortable.
Yeah,
so,
but they do the job.
Yeah, the last of them will.
They'd be only for short, temporary use.
You wouldn't have a thong on long around me, I tell you that.
They're part-time. They're only for part-time use.
Part-time underwear.
Huge purchases, Tommy. I'm well impressed. Three pairs of jeans afternoon in Dublin.
Yeah, but see, I get the chat show is coming up again now.
Is it coming up, Tommy? When's it coming up?
Start recording in November. So I'll get...
New clothes.
I get a budget for new clothes.
Nice.
Yeah, 37 grand a year.
Wow.
Nice.
That's a lot of jeans.
Don't buy jeans. You have to wear suits for that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, they'll be more expensive suits anyway than jeans.
So I don't really have to buy my clothes myself.
Right, but you did have to buy your jeans. Did you buy anything else?
I bought lots and lots and lots of books.
T-shirts.
About
did you buy
Jesus.
Any T-shirts?
I brought one T-shirt.
What's on it, Tommy?
The price tag and the thingamajig.
Where did you go for that one?
I got that in Genius as well, but my wife said, that doesn't suit you, so I put it back in the bag.
You're not going to wear that?
No.
Hector,
did you buy it?
Yeah, Hector, it might suit you.
What? Hang on a second. Do you not come out
taste,
with it?
No.
Was it a Wrangler one or something?
It's kind of like a Wrangler.
Oh,
yoke
oh for Christ's sake.
It just doesn't suit me.
You don't want a Wrangler.
No. So you did some shopping.
Did some shopping.
And did you get bored after you went into the one shop?
It was Yvonne and the kids came up, so we did a nice few days together, but it was very boring and lonely on my own on the Sunday.
And that's why you were sending us emails.
But I got through it. But I had work to do. I had podcast work to do because I'm responsible.
Yes, you were very busy,
Tommy.
You
could have given us a call and we'd have cheered
you up. Very busy. When the email pinged.
How can I say to you on the phone? How are you? How are you? Yeah. Great. See you Monday.
So bloody awkward. It's awful. It's just you should be a bit more social with us.
Totally social.
It'll definitely lift you out of your little sadness if you're more social with us.
We'll see.
Don't get so excited about it.
Anyway, people, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you again this week. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. Mind yourselves and tour Ara Margera.
Of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.